Right now it is time for us to be joined by Marcy and David. The BerkshireEdge.com is where they set up shop and do business 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The BerkshireEdge.com. And this is the Berkshire Edge on air. Good morning, both of you two.
Good morning. Is it only 24? Right.
It feels like 28.
Well, it always feels like it's like 72 hours. You know, we all know what it feels
like. Right.
Yes, right.
The next morning, it feels like it's been 72 hours.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's good to have you guys with us this morning.
Thank you.
We will just, once again, we take this 20, 25 minutes to highlight just some of the stories you'll find at the BerkshireEdge.com. First one will go off and... It's planners in Great Barrington and the select board looking at surplus properties and the lack of affordable housing.
Yeah, this is an interesting story. The planning board and the select board got together, actually, to look at, properties and just this housing stock. And one of the things that has concerned them, or two things that are concerned them, one is... the lack of what is called affordable housing, and the other is these derelict so-called surplus properties that are abandoned in town, and what to do with them. What they're looking to do is to figure out how to generate more economic vitality and opportunities through allowing people to afford to live in the town, and at the same time find another use for these buildings and complexes that have fallen into disuse. So it's kind of it's an interesting initiative, actually, and so they've surveyed a number of them. One of them. And our lead picture is Cook's Garage in Housatonic, which has been moribund in Housatonic for a number of years, as has that whole Monument Mills complex there that is in the center of town that used to be the reason for Housatonic to exist was this great big mill that that made clothing. But that's a different. That was a different economy then.
Yeah, and it is true, that. First of all, I do hear from lots of business people that they can't hire anybody. I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of issues. One is housing. One is sort of people are not prepared properly for the workforce. And I hear retailers complaining that they just can't get good people. People show up and then they disappear, or they don't realize that they need to be working all day. So there are a couple of things going on, but there are a lot of complaints. I hear it from other business people about the inability to, and it hampers the economic vitality of the area. But the other thing is that because we are such a popular second home area, that any home gets snapped up either by people who are moving here, people who want a second home here, or lately by people who want to run Airbnbs. So there are a lot of small houses, reasonably priced houses now, that are being bought, renovated by the owners, and then into very lucrative Airbnbs. So this is also a problem about where to find housing.
And that has a double-edged effect. Not only does it cut down on the ability to build affordable housing, it's funny. We always have to describe. There's a difference between low-income housing and affordable housing. There's a big difference.
Yes, we're not talking about low-income housing. Places where people have jobs can live.
That's exactly right. And also, when Airbnb takes over houses like this and people do this to their houses, not only does it affect that, but it also affects the other industry which really relies on that. And that is the hotels and the motels who pay and follow all the rules to operate legally. They have people taken away from them.
And the whole quote virtue of the gig economy is being used to essentially stymie people who are trying to do it right. There's, you know, it needs to be looked at, unfortunately, from that standpoint, because the two can't really coexist, frankly.
Well, and the other thing is that it destroys neighborhoods.
Yep.
I mean, when you've got a bunch of houses on your street that are empty half the time because they're Airbnbs, then you don't have the kind of vitality in a neighborhood that you have when there are people there raising their children. And,
right, you don't have the community. But even over the line, you know, there are some people who do the Airbnb thing, and I live on Music Mountain, and it's fairly remote, but the people who come in, they're great. They're there for a week. Something freezes, something happens, something. You know, they call somebody or they say, oh my, this is what I wanted, and off they go. And it's just, it's the antithesis of what you are looking for as you say, a neighborhood or a community. It's not really.
But it is perfectly legal.
Perfectly legal and certainly perfectly lucrative for the person who is doing it.
I think so. I mean, I understand that it is.
On the other hand,
may I
interject a different point of view, is that Airbnbs could also serve as enticements for people to come and live in this area who might not otherwise have known about it, you know, that... they might say, you know, that would be a good place to raise our kids, especially if they come from an urban area that is not as attractive to them, you know. So Airbnb is kind of like you can almost try out an area, you know.
Quite right. And I have a number of friends who use them all the time. So many things, that there is an upside and a downside. It's just trying to find the balance so that, from a community standpoint, it's fair. And this is where it can, let's just say, dribble or sort of ooze over a line, where then people are debating. Well, it's like, hey, I'm doing this and I'm paying. I run an inn, I'm paying for it, and you, Lucy, are renting your house on the internet. Yay!
Right.
So. There's got to be something that makes it viable, let's just say, for everybody.
Right.
And that's where the trouble starts.
You know, a number of towns have proposed taxing
the profit?
Taxing Airbnbs the same way you tax an inn or something. And, of course, there's been a lot of protests.
No kidding.
We had that discussion in Great Barrington, too.
Sure.
Yeah, no kidding, of course.
All right. Speaking about no kidding, let's move on because this is funny. It's not funny, but it's reality, and that is that all politics are local because the split you see on the national scene and the impeachment front amongst just the Democrats, it comes back home and it's basically the same with local politicians.
Oh yes. Well, we have an insurgent, you might say, progressive group of Democrats here in southern Berkshire County, and they have sent a letter to Richard Neal, and they actually produced it on what looks like some parchment, so that it's almost a revolutionary document urging him to support the impeachment of Donald Trump for high crimes and misdemeanors, or in Trump's case, low crimes. This is just the start of a really active political re-election season. But the Democrats in South County are really something. They are quite active and progressive, and they sent this letter out. We reproduced this letter that they sent out, and it's it's persuasive, I must say.
Well, like I said, all politics are local when you get right down to
it. Oh, yeah. Right.
Doesn't matter.
Well, remember this, you know, this area has been rather notorious over the years for being kind of insurgents, harboring insurgents. If we were to go back to Shay's Rebellion, so they're quite independent thinkers here. So we're following these opinions and movements, reacting to the national scene.
Well, we'll stay local, reacting to national and international in your next story, and that's a partnership of organizations collaborating to support some immigrants from West Africa.
Right.
Yeah, this is a really lovely story. Is that these a couple came to the United States and they needed help, and so there's a whole coalition of organizations in Berkshire County got together to help them find housing and job. And these are people that are really eager to. They're kind of the poster child for what you imagine immigrants to be. You know, they're America represents a kind of, you know, golden opportunity for them, and because they came from, you know, violence and an area that was racked with violence, and they hope to, you know, work hard and make a life for themselves and their family. And contrary to what Trump tries to portray as, you know, criminals, that anybody who's an immigrant, especially an immigrant of color,
right,
is a criminal. Because he's kind of a racist. I mean, let's call it what it is. But this really contrasts with this. And it's a writer, Sheila Clary, wrote this story. And she starts off, by the way, with Emma Lazarus's inscription on the base of the Statue of Liberty: "Give me your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." And so we forget that that is exactly who the immigrants are. You know, they're not here to try to steal, and they're not criminals.
No, and she starts off discussing, you know, she talks about this young man who was a long jumper, and he came to the United States in 2002. Participate as, and he's also deaf, so he came to participate as a deaf long jumper in the Special Olympics. He'd left his village, I mean, with a pair of worn-out sneakers, and by 2013, he was living in Great Barrington. He was on the staff of Construct. He had gotten transitional housing. He got a bicycle, and once he had a bicycle, he could go back and forth to a job. And once he was working, he was able to save up for a car. Now he gets himself to and from work with his full-time job in that car. You know, this is the process. That, at any rate, I mean, it's a very heartwarming story about the people at Construct and volunteers and medicine. And, you know, how they are helping people, and it's, you know, it's what we're all about, and we forget that.
Yeah, yeah. We should mention that Volunteers in Medicine is a wonderful organization that provides health care to people who can't afford it, and one of the doctors there, Alana Steinhauer, points out that last Thursday, she said 20 out of 21 patients at the VIM clinic were non-native-born U.S. residents.
20 out of 21. Right.
20 out of 21.
Right.
So
that, and you know, and there was a point about a year ago where people were afraid to come to VIM because ICE was apparently prowling the parking lot, and if they came for health care, they could have gotten picked up.
Amazing.
I mean, it's really a very upsetting story.
Well, we'll continue on with immigration and intern, and that's your Edgecast, which is basically tied into this story.
I mean, I notice how all these stories have sort of a vague theme to them. Ben Hillman is just a very talented videographer, he created a video for us of a demonstration in Pittsfield against the incarceration of immigrants at the southern border, and it's a great show of what humanity should be, and how we should be regarding our fellow human beings. So. He's a very talented guy, and we have a number of his Edgecasts. You can go onto our site, and we have a category for Edgecasts, and there's a lot of them there that he's done, and they're all really interesting, and he's quite talented. We'll have an update to that particular video, which we're going to put up today. So, in any case, that demonstration attracted a lot of people, including Senator Adam Hines and our state representative, Tricia Farley Bouvier, also spoke, as well as a number of immigrants who, I suppose, risked their status here by speaking out on behalf of those poor people trying to seek refuge in the United States. At the border.
I'm going to read the next story, and people here in our area will understand what I'm talking about.
it relates to the first item, you know.
Yeah, here we go. Plummeting enrollment. A school committee that's reluctant to consider merging with its neighbor, Berkshire Hills Regional School District, the Southern District member towns. This sounds a lot like what's going on in Region 1. Falls Village just held a Board of Education meeting where they're discussing possibly trying to team with Norfolk with the part-time superintendent to help reduce costs and everything. I mean, school districts are in a state of siege, and I'll be honest with you, board members aren't helping necessarily in these districts.
Well, that's what this story is really about, is that Southern Berkshire Regional School District has a pretty nice campus there in Sheffield, just north of you guys. But the enrollment is really, really low, or it's getting low. And it has, for all the reasons that we were talking about in the first item, which is it's, you know, they're people with families are finding it difficult to live here, so there's an opportunity to a kind of hand has been extended by the Berkshire Hills Regional School District, which is just north of Sheffield in Great Barrington, and said, well, listen, why don't we merge our school districts, or have some kind of cooperative arrangement, so that students get the advantage of having a full education, because there will be enough students if we pool our resources. So the problem is that while the member towns of Southern Berkshire, that would be Sheffield and Egremont and Marlborough, and selectmen in those towns are favorably inclined to think this might be a good idea, but the school district school committee is dug in its heels and is refusing to consider this offer. And so the towns are thinking that they're going to pursue this merger in spite of the school committee. So it's going to be kind of a battle over the next few months over this.
And we have, and there's also a very interesting debate going on in our comments to this article too.
Yeah.
So we love this.
It's the same. It's the same down here. I can tell you what's going on here. There's no easy or short,
what is this? Only the names have been changed.
There's no short-term solution. People have to think long in this in our whole area, and it just appears that superintendents or school boards are just not really capable of getting their ideas across with any clarity to the public. That's all.
Well, you know, we have one person who's saying that the school board is enamored of quaint notions of country schools and down-home educational principles, which are unrealistic attempts to return to a simpler time. And that's, and there's a response to that by a person who says that as an educator, I have to disagree with the arguments that it's unrealistic, that, the old-fashioned idea of having schools in the community where students' lives are grounded is the fact that it improves the opportunity for parental involvement, and there is a real sense of place and community. But, it's not going to work if there are no students there. I mean, if the number of courses they can take is very limited.
Yeah.
If there's no students and there's not enough taxpayers to fund what has to go on. We only have a minute left, 1 minute, but I want to get this story in about you've got a real big story that plays on the whole cultural season that now is actually in action.
Oh, yes. We have lots and lots and lots of cultural stuff going on up here, from plays to Tanglewood. They did the Ring Valkyrie, Richard Wagner's opera. They did a performance of it over several days rather than making people sit for 6 hours, I suppose.
No, longer than that.
Longer than
10
that.
Hours.
Okay, 10 hours. Yes, it probably seems like 24 hours. But we have three reviews of a play, a really interesting play called The Children of Shakespeare and Company. And for once, three reviewers agree on something. I can't believe it. But
they agree it's good.
And one of them was Dan Dwyer, who lives in Lakeville. And he loved it. He loved this play.
Not only does he live in Salisbury, he has off script on the stage.
He is in Salisbury?
Absolutely. But
well, Salisbury, Lakeville,
and he also
door to each other.
May I also say, though, on the subject of what's going on in the Berkshires, that the next issue of our beautiful magazine comes out tomorrow, August 1st. It's called BerkshiresCalendar.com. It'll be distributed free in Connecticut and throughout the Berkshires and into New York. And it's a preview of what's happening in the Berkshires in the next 3 months with a special feature article on where to meet up with friends all over the Berkshires and in Connecticut and in Hillsdale. So it's a beautiful, glossy magazine, and for more information, it leads you to our online calendar, which is also available at berkshirescalendar.com. where you can find right now almost 1,000 events, which you can search by date or by town or by venue or by category.
All right.
So we have the most complete online calendar of anybody in the region.
All right.
Very easy to use, user friendly, and the magazine is a supplement to that.
All right, and
it's
we are
beautiful. 70
we are flat out of time.
Magazine.
All right, we are flat out of time right now.
Check it out.
All right, we will speak to you guys next week.
Thank you very much.
Take
care.
Okay,
guys.
Bye bye.
Thanks.
Stay cool.
Oh yeah, we will.
Right. Oh no, we won't be here next week.
All right, 2 weeks then.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Okay.
Whatever.
Bye.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. You'll find them at theberkshireedge.com.